you know, show me the money. No, you know, that is not my wallet. I was telling Sherry on the way here, you know, this, I was showing her the slides because she has to know how to flip them. And I told her, I said, you know, I don't think I've ever had that much money in my wallet. You know, I'm doing good if I have double digits. I just don't carry cash, okay? And that's not my wallet. And besides, my wallet is made out of duct tape, okay? Not kidding. I am not kidding. Duct tape. Okay. So I'm an engineer. What can I say? I'm a geek. All right. So, but today's class is what the Bible says about managing your money, okay? You know, when a lot of times sort of the rep that churches get when you start talking about money, it's all about give more money, give more money, give it to the church, okay? This is not that kind of a class, okay? This class is about what does the Bible say about how you manage your money? It says quite a bit about that, hopefully this will be you know, review for a lot of us, but also, a lot of things we teach in this church are review. It's a call to do what we've heard before, but maybe have slipped away from. Okay, what the Bible says about managing money. There's some things it says don't do. Don't love it, and don't steal it. There's a few other don'ts, but those are a couple. A few things it says do. Okay, it says you should earn it, you should save it, you should share it. Okay? So this is not real complicated, okay? There's no big words here, right? This is pretty easy stuff. So let's start out with don't love it, okay? 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, and at this point, I'm going to my glasses. It says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, I mean, there's just a huge point in this passage that will save you a lot of grief, right? You know, have you ever thought, you know, boy, I'd like to get rich, and, you know, maybe one day I could be rich, and then, you know, you sort of tell yourself, if I get rich, I'm going to give a lot of money to the church. So you try to sanctify your desire to get rich, right? You know, do you think that's really a legitimate ambition that a Christian ought to have? You know, don't set out to get rich. You know, read the scriptures about it. We're going to look at a couple more. You know, take that pressure off yourself. You don't need to be rich. You need to do a great job at your work. You need to be earning the food that you eat. We're going to look at a bunch of things about that. But don't love money. You know, that's what causes people to want to get rich, you know. You love the money, you love the power, you love the influence, you love the position, you love a lot of things that are not very godly, really, when you get right down to it, okay? You don't want your heart to be in those things. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? So, you know, it's a temptation. And so, you know, he talks about it takes you into foolish and harmful desires. You say, well, now that I can do this, you know, what am I going to do with this money, you know? You start, you know, what happened to the prodigal son when he came into a bunch of money? You know, it put him in a position where temptation came after him and he fell. Okay, now thankfully he came back, right? Of course, it was a parable. But yes, that, you know, that can happen to any of us. The love of money causes a lot of bad things. It's a root of all kinds of evil. And, you know, it ends up causing you pain. And, you know, we all know the examples of rich people that aren't any happier than average people or even poor people. You know, learn to be content where you are, and if God wants you to be rich, he'll bless you. You know, the truth is, he doesn't want most of us to be rich because we can't handle it. And even if we think we can handle it, we might not be able to handle it. Okay? Don't love money. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. You know, wanting to get rich deserves punishment. That's what the Bible says, okay? It's a wrong thing to do. It's a sin, okay? Don't aspire to get rich. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to, if God blesses you with that, amen. But your ambition, your life, your heart, your efforts are to please God, not to get rich. You can't serve both God and money. I keep referring to other scriptures I haven't brought up, but you know those scriptures. Okay. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This, too, is meaningless. You know, you think it's going to make you happy, but it doesn't. You know, Solomon said that thousands of years ago. Wisest man who ever lived. But we don't listen to him. You know, so often. Our culture around us tells us not to listen to him. Right? Don't set out to get rich. Don't love money. Don't love wealth. Are you satisfied with what you have? I hope so. Are you satisfied with what you have? You know, I don't want to go too far into this. My wife and I made a decision. I made it back when I was a young engineer at Duke Power Company. Said, I'm not going to raise my standard of living. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to try to accumulate, you know, whatever additional I get, I'm going to use to serve God. I've got enough here to support my family. You know, fast forward to March of last year, I decided I was going to retire. I could do it. I had saved up enough to do that. But we're living on about 60% of the median income of American households. You know, that's why we can do it. You know, we've decided we don't need cable TV. We don't need this. We don't need that. So I put that out there as an example that, you know, we're perfectly happy. And we're going to be happy. And we're going to, you know, we don't get our happiness from, you know, gaudy things in our house, you know. I just put that out there. Yeah, we've you know, God's blessed us, and we're, you know, we've got things that we didn't deserve that God's given to us. But my point is, God will take care of you. You don't pursue those things. If they fall into your lap, it's a blessing. If they don't, you can still be happy. Okay, it's a trap to love wealth. Okay, the second don't is don't steal it. Right? So you don't love it, you don't steal it. Okay? And that seems pretty obvious. Exodus 20, verse 15 says, you shall not steal, right? Thou shalt not steal in the King James, you know. Some reason we have to have the Ten Commandments in King James English, don't we? Okay. Thou shalt not. You know, what part of thou shalt not do you not understand, right? You've seen the billboard. So thou shalt not steal. Okay, you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, 1 Corinthians 6 says pretty much the same thing. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And he goes through a long list. But in verse 10, he says, nor thieves, right? You steal, you're not going to heaven. Okay, don't be that kind of person. Don't steal. Don't, you know, you don't steal. Is that, I hope that's not controversial. All right, so, you know, what are the ways that we steal or that we are tempted to steal? Anybody? Yes. All right. Are you reporting all your income on your taxes? Okay, your tips. Okay. Are you taking deductions you're not entitled to? Are you, you know, taxes? That's coming up. A lot of us are probably working on that, or soon will be if we haven't already. Be honest about it. It's stealing. If you don't pay your taxes. What else? How else do we steal? Yes, Zach. Jumping tolls. Yet you ever like try to get onto the MARTA without paying, or you know, I don't have to go into an office anymore. But back in the day when I had to go into an office, and you know, they had an office supplies. They had pens and pencils and paper, pads of paper. Every now and then, I would come home and I would find pens in my pocket. I would take them back to work, you know, because they're not mine. I didn't pay for that. So, you know, it sneaks into your life if you're not careful. You get home from the grocery store and you find out they didn't charge you for something you brought home. Do you go back and pay for it? Or do you think, ha, winner, 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 chicken dinner, you know? No, you know, you can think of your own situations. Obviously, there is picking up groceries and putting them in your pocket at the store and walking out. It's walking out without paying, walking out of the restaurant without paying. You know, Some people would say if you don't leave a tip, you know, you're stealing from the, you know. The point is, you want to have a heart of integrity. If you have any doubts, don't do it. You know, if you have any doubts, go pay, make it right. Pay it off. Pay it back. All right, don't steal. Okay, and again, for example, don't cheat on your taxes. All right, so there's some things he says do. All right, things about money that you should do. One of them is you should earn it, right? If you're not going to steal it, how else are you going to get it, right? You can sit around and wait for somebody to just feel sorry for you and give it to you, right? But, you know, for most of us, that's not what we ought to be doing, is it? You know, Ephesians 4, verse 28, let's talk about the person who's been stealing. He says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those who are in need. Right? So here's teaching of the way a disciple ought to be, a Christian, a follower of Jesus. You ought to be productive with your hands. Okay, you ought to do something, make something, produce a service, something that somebody's willing to pay you for. Okay, how productive are you? Are you productive at your job? Do you feel like if you left, the company would make less money? Or if you left, they would have their expenses would go up? Or if you left, I mean, are you worth what they're paying you? You know, do the math in your head. If you were them, would you pay you that much? Or would you save the money and fire you? You know, are you worth what they're paying you? All right? Do something useful with your hands. And you know, something so that, not so that you can get rich, right? But so that you can do what? Something to share with others. You know, one of the things that our benevolence deacons do when they sit down with somebody who's needing some help and they start giving them some counseling, they'll point them and say, we want to get you to a position where you can be the one helping somebody else, right? That ought to be all of our ambition. And hopefully for most of us, we can be there. You know, you may have, you know, a catastrophic something to happen that wasn't planned for and you need some help. And that's okay. That's why we have a benevolence contribution. But you may also be in a situation where you've consumed more than you've produced, right? Consuming more than you produce, in the end, that new thing you bought that's sitting in your house isn't worth the stress it causes because you can't pay your bill, right? You know, it's not worth it. You want to be happy? Quit spending money. Really, find something else to be happy about, right? quit spending your money, and you'll end up, the stress goes away. You know, spending money up to the limit of your budget is a very stressful way to live. But getting to the end of the month without any concern about whether you're going to have enough to pay your bills, you're not even worried about it, you know, that's very freeing, okay? So, you know, you want to produce more than you consume, have something to share. All right. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 and 12 says, we hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. Okay, there it is, straight in the Bible. Produce what you consume. All right. Think about it for a minute. You know, what does it cost somebody for you to live? You know, somebody's got to provide a place for you to live, a bed, a house, you know, a roof over your head, clothes, food, probably a vehicle and, you know, a way to drive around. You know, are you producing enough to pay for all that? Do you know how much all that costs? I think a lot of teens in particular and a lot of young college students, it's a shame the college students aren't in here today, but they had something else they needed to do, and that's fine. But, you know, a lot of people don't really have a concept of how much it costs to live. Have you made a budget? Do you know how much it costs you to live each month? Okay. And you know, you need to earn what you eat. If you're consuming at a rate higher than you're earning, then that you can't sustain that forever. You're going to end up in trouble. You're going to end up having to depend on somebody else. So here, you know, settle down and earn the bread you eat. You know, we have, again, our benevolence deacons do a great job of this. There's other people here who can help with this. If you don't know how to do a budget, or if you feel like your budget's out of control, get some help. You know, how many of you have taken the Dave Ramsey class? Look around you. Okay, those are people who can probably help you. You know, I think it'd be a great idea for our Dave Ramsey alumni to have some, reunions. Get together and say, how's that going? You know, how is that emergency fund doing? How is that 6 months, or 3 to 6 months of, emergency fund in case you lose your job? What would happen if you lost your job? Okay. How's following the plan going? How's paying off your debt going? That class can put you on very solid footing if you'll follow what you learned there. So if you're having trouble, again, our benevolence deacons are one resource. Dave Ramsey class, see Thomas Hood, he'll get you in one. But there's some things that can help you. There's other people here who can help you. Don't just sit there stressed out by your finances and not get help. There's answers, there's solutions to the problems. We can help you with that. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. This is an interesting one. Make it your ambition to get rich. No, that's not what it says. Make it your ambition to be a star. To be a pop star. No, make it your ambition to be a millionaire NBA basketball player. No, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. That's what it says, to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. So once again, working with your hands, make something, do something, find a job, find something you can do that somebody else is willing to pay you for, right? I want to come back to that point about our young people not knowing how much it costs to live. If you don't know how much it costs to live, you don't know what kind of job to look for. You don't know what kind of job to look for. You don't know what kind of education to get, what kind of preparation to get that job. We need our young people to understand what it costs to live. Sherry and I sat down with our teenage daughters, really even before then, and helped them to understand more about our household finances. Our household finances were not a secret in our house. We wanted them to know, and we wanted them to see that how much you earn is more than how much you spend, and what so the savings and how we're saving. So you want your kids to learn that. Learn that. Who are they going to learn it from if not from you? Okay? So you want your kids to, when they leave your house, they need to have a really solid understanding of how to manage their household finances. Okay? But it all starts from, mind your own business, be productive with your hands, and produce what you consume. And produce more. So here's kind of a bottom line of it. You want to produce what you consume. You want to produce before you consume. What do you think I'm talking about there? You don't borrow. You don't live on borrowed money thinking, I'm going to earn this one later. I just got to have this thing now. I'll earn the money to pay for it later. You get behind on that. There's plenty of Proverbs, and I didn't pull them out here, but there's plenty of Proverbs about not borrowing money. Okay, you don't want to be borrowing money. And you don't want to be co-signing loans for people who do. Did that sink in? A lot of times that one of the traps that parents fall in, or good-hearted Christians for other Christians, is co-signing a loan. That person isn't faithful in paying it back, and suddenly you've got a debt you didn't plan on. Okay, you don't co-sign loans. Okay, if you can give money to somebody, you give it to them. If you can't, then they need to learn to be responsible or to not spend money they don't have. If somebody's got a legitimate need, you find a way to pay for it with cash from somebody who can do that. But you don't co-sign a loan. Bad idea. If you do that, Proverbs talks about, go quickly and plead your way and get yourself out of that. Save your life. Okay. So the other things that the Bible says about managing money, one of the things to do is to save it. Okay. Proverbs 21, verse 20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Okay? So you got two choices here. You devour everything you have, maybe even then some, or you don't, you save some, you earn more than you consume so that your house is full of things. You've got some reserves. If you are out of work for 6 months, what are you going to do? Do you have reserves? That's what Dave Ramsey's emergency fund is all about. But You know, you, in your house, are there stores of choice things? Could you sustain yourself for a period of time without an income if that were to be necessary? Okay, you don't consume all that you have. That's the point. You need to save some. And that's, you know, Dave Ramsey course is a great place to get practical about how to do that. Okay. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. So there's kind of two points going on here. One of them is it righteous to save up money and then pass it to your children? It says so here, right? It's okay. You ought to do that. A good man does that. Okay? But a sinner might accumulate wealth, but it's going to be passed down to somebody else. You know, the point here is you don't want to just be good at saving money. You also want to be righteous. Right? You want to be a righteous person. Somebody that God will bless. Okay? It's a blessing from God to be able to pass something down to your children. Okay? So I ask you this. If you had to cash out today, balance your books, you're gone, would it be a positive or a negative balance? Would there be something to leave to your kids, or would it be a debt that you would leave to your kids? Okay. Hopefully, if you're in the latter case, hopefully you're not going to walk in front of a Mack truck on the way to your car tonight. You know, get some help. Figure out, how can I get to the place I want to be? How can I get to the place where, you know, my kids are not going to have to worry about, you know, how they're going to pay for my funeral? You know, my kids are not going to have to worry about, you know, did mom and dad have a bunch of debt that I didn't know about, right? So, you know, get a plan, get some help, and, you know, and plan so that you can have something to leave that's a positive balance, okay? And then, you know, one other things about managing money, you do share it. Okay, Romans 12:13 says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, okay? How do you get in a position to do that? You don't consume it all yourself, right? You don't consume it all yourself. You produce more than you consume, and you have something to share. So you're saving some, but you're also sharing some. Okay? You're not saving all of it. You're not a miser. You know, you're not, you know, Mr. Scrooge squeezing every penny until, you know, Lincoln squeals or something, you know. You're generous. You're open-handed with your brother who has needs. And you can be, because you don't consume everything that you bring in. Okay? All right? You share it. Matthew 10:42, what did Jesus say about this? He says that if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he certainly will not lose his reward. How does Jesus feel about it when you help a brother who's in need or a sister who's in need? He says, you will not lose your reward. He wants you to do that. It moves his heart when you help one of his children. Okay? You will certainly not lose your reward. I mean, I can feel the emotion in God when he says that. You know, says, I mean it. You know, says, I'm going to take care of you. You take care of my people, you can count on I'm going to take care of you. Okay? So, doesn't mean you're going to get rich. Doesn't mean he's going to bless you in this life, although I think he will. But it means that you're going to get your reward. You're going to be glad you did that. You want to be that kind of a person. Okay, God appreciates that. And then in Matthew 25, verse 40, again, this is, you know, the sheep and the goats. And verse 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. He takes it very personally when you help one of his brothers, one of his children, one of your brothers and sisters. It moves his heart. Okay. And obviously we talk here about brothers and sisters. It also, you know, the Good Samaritan, you know, helped a stranger, right? You know, and Jesus said, go and do likewise. So it's not just brothers and sisters, but it's especially members of the household of the faith. And then another thing that the Bible says about the managing your money is to honor God with it, right? Okay? I think every time you give a contribution at church, you're not giving it to the church. You're giving it to God. You know, consider yourself, what if you were a Jew in the Old Testament and you bring that goat or that bull or that sacrifice and it's burned on the altar, right? that grain offering and it's burned on the altar. You know, how would you feel if you came to church and we took all the contribution and we put it up here and we burned it? I'm not saying we're going to do that. And of course, if you give your contribution in a check, you might say, woohoo, you know. But, you know, I've heard some people say, you know, the preacher takes the contribution plate and he says, I'm going to throw it up in the air and whatever the Lord wants, he can catch. Whatever falls down to the ground is mine, you know. You know, we play a lot of games with this. But when you give your money to the church, you're really giving it to God. If you're not doing that, then you're not honoring God. You give it as a way to honor God. That's why you give your first fruits, not your leftovers. Okay? You give to the Lord to honor God. Okay? And in the Old Testament, God wouldn't accept a damaged or a defective goat or a sacrifice. He didn't want any defects in the sacrifice. That didn't honor him. You want to give your best, your first fruits. Okay? Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Okay. And again, you know, God appreciates it. You know, when you honor God, God takes care of you. Okay. I'm trying to specifically avoid the Sermon on the Mount passages that relate to this, because we have somebody else that's going to, I don't want to steal Scott's thunder, but there's a lot in there too. But, you know, the point here is you want to honor the Lord with your wealth. And when you do that, God's going to bless you, and God's got a bigger shovel than you do, right? So, the ultimate blessing we get from God is in heaven, right? There's no guarantee that if I give God, you know, $1,000, he's going to give me $10,000. You know, there's no guarantee of that. No, not even any suggestion of that in the scriptures. But God will bless you. You know, what we're getting in salvation, in heaven, and getting to live with God forever, is so much worth more than everything that we could possibly get in this life. You know, we are honoring God when we give the money, and we're giving it to God. Don't get confused about that. So, okay, and then the final thing, and here I am going to touch just a dab into the Sermon on the Mount, but don't worry about it, okay? What do you do about your money? You don't worry about it. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well, okay? So, he didn't say he's going to give you an Escalade. Didn't say he's going to give you, you know, a fancy suit, clothes. He didn't say he's going to give you a house, a car, you know, money. He says, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And, you know, Paul said, I've learned to be content in, you know, when I've got plenty and when I'm in want. You know, are you content with a roof over your head and food and clothing? If not, why not? What else do you really need? You know, be content with what you have. The secret to being content is to quit putting, don't put the pressure on yourself that you got to have more, right? Don't try to consume more than you bring in. It's a crazy thing to do to yourself, to stress yourself out by getting into debt and then wondering, how can I, you know, at the end of every month, you don't know if you're going to pay your bills or not, you know. You don't know what would happen if I lost my job, you know. You don't know. You have no plan. You have no reserves. Get in a position where you don't have to worry about that. And the way you get there, again, get some advice. Every situation's different. But you know, ultimately, be content with what you have. You know, God will take care of you. So, don't worry about it. Okay. So again, that's not my wallet. I don't know if that's your wallet or not, but it's. I hope that's helpful to you. We just looked at a few scriptures about how to manage your money, and this has been this is what the Bible says about it. Now, to make that practical is an individualized thing. So let's get together with people who can help us. Thank you very much.